This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by a CEO of the local health center, an FQHC, Kenneth Waller. Ken, such a pleasure to have you on. I'm going to talk to you about your passion for what you do, coronavirus, and more. Ken, can you take a moment and introduce yourself to the audience?
Yeah, my name is Ken Waller. I'm currently serving as the Chief Executive Officer in Corpus Christi, Texas, Amistad Community Health Center, and we provide services to the uninsured, underinsured, and the most vulnerable populations here in Corpus Christi. Prior to coming to Corpus Christi to serve as their CEO, I had a stint in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where I served as the COO, providing services also to the uninsured and the most vulnerable of our community.
Well, just fantastic. And take a moment before we get into COVID-19 and coronavirus. The passion to serve in the underserved community, a person like you has a lot of choices, and you choose to serve in sort of this federally qualified healthcare center, serving the underinsured. Where did that passion come from? How did you end up in that spot, you know, where that became your passion, what you chose to do?
Yeah, well, you know, growing up in New Jersey, I always had a strong passion for wanting to serve the indigent population. Going through college and recognizing that I was fortunate to be able to get educated and to live in a community that was really a poor community that really needed help and needed services. And so as I developed and evolved in my career and I began to understand the importance of leadership and things that would make a difference in my community, I thought healthcare was probably the best vehicle for me because of what I can do, the impact that I can have. And so that is what really drove me into wanting to get involved in FQACs, because some of that same activity happens in this space where we're seeing folks who are vulnerable and they don't have healthcare coverage. They're suffering from a lot of different medical conditions, and working with that population to try to improve the health and well-being, as well as to kind of reduce the healthcare disparities that they're facing.
Just fantastic what you do and have chosen to do. Talk to me for a moment about what preparation for COVID-19 looks like in an FQHC. What does that look like?
Yeah, so I mean, what we're trying to do now is we're working with the local community health department and collaborating with the local hospitals to ensure that when patients are and residents in general are presenting to our center that are having these symptoms, we're instructed really to assess them and triage them, and then ultimately send them back to the health department where they have test kits so that they can be tested. And so from there, they're tested, and then the process begins, whether it is a contact tracing process or they're rushed into the acute setting. But it's a collaborative effort between the local hospitals and the local community county health department.
Well, fantastic. And does the FQHC remain fully open for business through this? What's the size of a typical FQHC versus the size of the local hospital? Is it a relatively small hospital? How do you think about it? Do you think of it more like a clinic? And do you remain fully open during this period of time? Do you ramp down non-essential services? Is there anything in the FQHC that's not essential?
Well, yeah, we are considered essential services. FQHCs are open during this time. I mean, we see ourselves as a arm of the federal government. We're under the auspices of the Department of Health and Human Services, and we're open. We consider ourselves as essential providers, and our scope of services is really primary care. But again, as I mentioned, Scott, we do a lot of work collaborating with the local hospital system. So ultimately and essentially, we are the safety net provider for those who are uninsured.
Well, fantastic. So fully going, obviously essential. It's sort of a poor question by myself. And it really is busier than usual with people coming in concerned that they have COVID-19, triaging people. How does it look today in a day-to-day situation right now? And
and so forth?
Yeah, right now we're not that busy with COVID-19 potential patients or individuals. We're just kind of watching it and seeing how it goes. Currently here in town, we may have about 52 people that have already been affected by COVID-19. But we're not seeing a lot of traffic around that. So we are watching and providing surveillance to ensure that if we are going to see folks presenting with those symptoms, we know what our next steps are. So it's not that busy at this point.
And another question, FQHC's funding, adequate, non-adequate, perspectives on funding from the federal government and so forth.
Well, I say it's not adequate. I mean, there's always a need to get additional funding because a lot of our patients are uninsured. Upwards of 50% here at my center are presenting that are uninsured. And so we have to do a lot of different things in order to continue to supplement some of the additional service lines that we provide. So we offer dental services, psychiatric services, behavior health, internal medicine, family medicine and prevention, pediatrics, OB, GYN, and then we do a bunch of collaborations with some of the university who offer some support services like diabetes education and medication assistance. And we have a philanthropic funding portfolio that we oversee and we try to manage and try to strengthen to kind of support our uninsured population. So for the most part, I would say that a lot of the funding, it's inadequate. I think we need to do better.
In the future of FQHCs post-COVID-19, more and more vital to the community versus less, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, we're extremely vital. I think strategically, FQHCs are can be really effective at supporting the acute setting by looking at the synergies between hospitals and FQHCs. As I mentioned, we are a primary care operation. And so our goal is really to try to improve the health and well-being of the community, to try to reduce acute care settings, to reduce the cost, as well as to drive down ED visits, which ultimately is an increased cost for hospitals. So we are effective at what we do post COVID-19. I just think FQHCs are underrated.
No, I think magnificent. And Ken, tell me, what are you most proud of in what you do and what you're and better than what you do, what your FQHC does? What are you most proud of in terms of your team, your staff, your leadership there?
Yeah, I mean, we've done really well. As I mentioned, I've been here close to 4 years. We've been able to really grow our population of patients from 4,000 to over 11,000 lives we're currently managing. We just established a new access point in one of the local communities in Robstown, Texas. We grew our employment of folks from 40 to over 80 employees. We recruit doctors. I mean, we've done fantastic work. Our patients are now able to get access within 48 hours. We have great relationships with funders and some of the local partners here and some of the key stakeholders in our community have really been supportive of us. And so I'm really proud to be a leader here. And I think we've done a great job in providing access to the Corpus Christi community and to the Coastal Bend region as a whole. And we're just looking forward to continuing the process and hopefully work through this COVID-19 debacle.
Ken, thank you so much for joining us. Just a great pleasure for our audience and myself to learn just a little bit more today about FQHCs and about you and what you do. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Scott. Okay.